Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Uh-oh, the kids aren't so happy anymore. This is Wretched Radio. You're probably not familiar with an organization called Sapien Labs. It's an organization that has determined to figure out how happy the world is based on where they live, how they live. They've been doing this now for a number of years. The fourth annual Mental State of the World Report is in. And guess what? The kids aren't faring so well. Once upon a time, and it wasn't that long ago, if any demographic were considered happy, it was children. Kids were just plain happy about life. Why shouldn't they be? They're not aware of all of the evils that are lurking, the responsibilities that adults carry. They were not weighed down by those concerns, but now they appear to be quite unhappy. Might it have something to do with social media? To the report we go, which I found to be rather fascinating on a number of levels. Not just that the kids aren't happy, but where the kids aren't happy. It turns out it is in industrialized nations, in high-density regions where people are least happy. Isn't that amazing? We had to keep the kids down on the farm once they saw Paris because, oh, the bright lights of the big city. That's what's fun. Well, guess what? The people who live in those dense urban areas tend to be less happy. Isn't that a tell from the article from the report? Greater wealth and economic development does not lead to greater mental well-being, but it can instead lead to consumption patterns and a fraying of social bonds that are detrimental to our ability to thrive. Indeed, it is a detriment to our thriving. We have nothing in common anymore. Just like Tom Hanks and Jackie Gleason, if you get that reference, you are as pathetic as I am. We got nothing in common. The only glue that I see in this country right now is athletics, cheering for your colors or maybe for your state. Other than that, I'm amazed the Olympics are still going on. I'll be honest with you that Americans actually cheer for Americans. Critical race theory has been trying to divide us rather successfully. Marxism, socialism, all intended to do nothing but divide us. And it has been oh so successful. The people who live in a nation that have nothing that unifies, nothing. This hyper-individualism that has become so prevalent because of social media, that you've got to create your own world. Everything that surrounds you has got to make you happy. And the second that something gets up your nose, it's deemed toxic. You don't have the emotional bandwidth to deal with it. And you cancel everybody so that you can continue to recede into a cavern of loneliness. That's the world we've concocted, and it ain't making people happy. And there's a reason for that. That's not the way that God intended it. And the social breakdown that we see that is the most damaging, not just for society, but for the individuals, is the familial breakdown, that families no longer stick together through thick or thin. Kids ghosting their parents, and parents that just run off to Florida so that they can enjoy the sunshine for the rest of their years. We don't see unified families like we once did, and the result of it is doom, displeasure, agony on a lot of people. 2023, 71 countries. The global average was 65. You don't need to know the scale. It's a 300-point scale. So 300, you're like, woohoo! The average was 65, which means people are just, quote, managing, which is just barely above a score that reflected their just enduring. What in the world is going on? The youth, once the peak of reported happiness, have dropped to the absolute bottom. And those 65 or older have remained basically the same. The kids are miserable. Why? Well, prior to 2010, insert scratch your head here. What happened in 2010? I'm trying to recall there was something. No, it wasn't a big election year. Oh, yeah. Cell phones. The smartphone was introduced. And we gobbled them up. And we gave them to our children. And we're seeing the fruit from that human invention that can indeed be good and serve us. But it appears the tail's wagging the dog when it comes to electronics. They control our lives. They rule what we do. We were out on Saturday night, had dinner with a couple from church. And just looking at these people, this one guy is sitting at a table and he's eating while looking at his phone, and his wife is kitty corner to him. They never talked. Just had to look at something amazing on that. So I'm sure he was cutting a big deal, taking care of some sort of international arms trade. Or just scrolling through TikTok. It owns us, and we're seeing the fruit of it. Prior to 2010, young people tended to top surveys of happiness, mood, and outlook. But from 2019 going on, the most persistent trend observed has been declining mental well-being across the internet-enabled youth. Internet-enabled? Internet-controlled. If you're young, you need to understand that you're a sponge and that the stuff that goes into your eyes and through your earbuds, it's forming you. It's shaping you. And I would encourage you to take a look at what it is that you're consuming, because if it is a paltry diet, if it is just a bombardment of dopey, banal videos, people doing silly things, that's what you're becoming. Do you want loftier? Do you want higher? Do you want grander? You got to put other stuff in there. Sure, it's harder, but it's more valuable too. Jimmy, did we talk about this a week or two ago? There's some guy. Could you be less specific? No, I couldn't. There's some guy who's a tech guru. And he will not let his kids look at the cell phone until they consume 20 minutes of books with bigger ideas. Now, to me, that's still a drop in the bucket. Because when you are consuming that much nonsense, you just can't win. And isn't another one of the trends that we see kids that absolutely, positively refuse to download wisdom from their parents? That they reject it. To the point of ghosting them. One of the things that we're working on, we'll see how this goes. In fact, on Sunday night, had a lengthy conversation with a couple of dear friends in Texas that were involved in intergenerational ministry. They would bring young couples into their home. Now, this actually is really encouraging. I didn't know this about that. I knew that they'd been doing something with young marrieds for years. But they were bringing young married. They just said, all right, if you're young and married, come to our house. Well, they did. But guess what they brought with them? Their kids. So this is a church. Maybe 300 folks, 250, 300, somewhere in that nice church. Great pastor. And they invited these young adults to come to their home. And 24 children came with them. That's how many young people responded to be in a home with an older couple who just modeled marriage for them. That's a beautiful thing. It can be done, but I suspect the soil from which that tree sprouted had been tilled for years, that it was an encouragement to young people. You don't know everything. There are people in here who are wiser and smarter than you. Download it. Listen to them. Because the amount of glop that is being funneled into their noggins, I got to tell you, this is what we're going to be striving for at our church. That we are going to try to put older people with younger people together. I'll let you know how it goes. Perhaps it's just a pipe dream. But I think that it's countercultural, and it's what the church really needs at this moment, this cultural moment, when everybody is being fractured, why everybody is being divided, why the hyper-individualism that is absolutely being fertilized 24/7 by social media. We need the church to gather around and say, hey, young couple, I got your back. I'm going to help you in this. Because right now, our kids are being swiped from us by the world. How many heartbreak stories have you heard from older parents whose kids used to be, quote, walking with the Lord, but they walked away? Why? And it's the same old, social media. But alas, or a lad, if you still believe in two genders, there are more reasons why the kids and potentially you are not as happy as you once were, and what we must do if we are going to be biblically happy, which is, of course, the best way to be happy. Next on Wretched Radio.
Okay, so imagine that you're inside of a maze, and every corner that you take, there's another wall, there's another obstacle, and you finally get to the point of frustration where you think you're never going to get out. But then imagine a different scenario. You're still inside that maze, but every corner you take is a guide who has a flashlight and is saying, nope, that's the right way to go. And in that scenario, we welcome you to Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And whether you've listened or not, you'll realize really quickly it's not your everyday radio show. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford takes issues that many, if not all of us, struggle with, and it matches them up to hope and healing through the pages of the Bible. It is genuinely an entirely new perspective. New episodes drop every Saturday morning in your favorite podcast spot or at transformed.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Wretched Radio today. And recently, I was reflecting on a verse from 1 Corinthians 13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. And as I was doing that, it drew me back to a significant moment in my life. And I wanted to point you back to the past as well. Do you remember the first time you donated to us here at Wretched? You stood firm in your faith then, and that was an impactful gesture, and we hope to see it again. See, here at Wretched, we operate on tight lines, making the most of every cent. Every dollar is divided thoughtfully, 83% going directly to fuel this ministry. And the good news is we're held to high standards by the ECFA. There's no room for financial extravagance or any type of misuse around here. Every donation is appreciated, respected, and used wisely. You've got questions, and we have answers at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who can we thank for so much childhood misery? This is Wretched Radio, a secular organization called Sapien Labs. For years have been serving societies to determine who's happiest and why. And Zoink Scoob, it sure is telling, but it shouldn't be shocking because the Bible describes what is the best configuration for human beings. How are we to live? What should the order of society be to produce the greatest human flourishing? Oh, we've shattered all of that, and the results are in. People are miserable, and the number one demographic that is unhappy? Kids. Our children are unhappy. They noted that people who lived in rural areas were generally happier than people in urban centers. And they cited some of the reasons why. Number one would indeed be social media. That kids are spending so much time on social media in urban centers, more so than rural areas, but they aren't happier. The kids who aren't as connected are actually more content and satisfied. And it's just don't think the West. They surveyed the globe, and they found that people in the far-flung regions were actually the happiest. Venezuela? Tanzania? What? And they concluded that one of the reasons is that the kids are not as connected to social media. They did cite another reason, by the way. They think that some of the chemicals in the foods are causing the kids to be miserable, ultra-processed foods. But I thought number three of the reasons why kids in particular are less happy today, from the Sapien Lab report, the last culprit, familial relationships. Finding a breakdown of family relationships across the modern world as a major factor in the decline of youth mental well-being. Well, there's a shock. Kids don't have a mom and a dad, and they're not as happy. Who would have thunk? Oh, yeah. God. Families with less exposure to the institutions and technologies of maternity tend to have stronger and more numerous family bonds. In other words, they're spending more time together. They're doing stuff together. They have to work together to survive together. This is perhaps the other. I think the social media is one, but I think the other fire alarm for us in this report is what we are doing inside of the context of the local church to facilitate family bonds. Because the world is screaming at our kids. I know you've experienced, Jimmy, have you ever been with another couple? Their kids are older. And of course, these Christian parents weren't perfect. But it turns out their kids that grew up in the church have somehow just wandered away.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
It is a real pandemic. We hear it all the time. And we've got to be asking ourselves, how is it that kids who grew up in a home where mom and dad didn't just pray before meals, they had family devotions, they took them to Sunday school and youth group and church on Sunday, who got a hold of them? And the answer is social media got a hold of them. And furthermore, other institutions have contributed to the fracturing of the family. And we would do well to ask ourselves the question, why? What is going on? What's afoot here? Well, I would suggest to you, you can go back at least as far as 1884. A book, The Origin of the Family, Private Property, and the State by one Frederick Engels. Of course, he was the compatriot, a funny word, compatriot of Karl Marx. He wanted to destroy capitalism and the Victorian system, and he identified family as being capitalistic. And if we're going to spread the goods around, what do we need to get rid of capitalism? Family. Why? Because families tend to pass on property to their progeny. And it keeps the wealth inside of a particular family group. So what do you need to do to spread the wealth? You need to break up the family. And so it is. They went to work on trying to dismantle the family. And Frederick Engels gave this absolutely bizarre tracing of history that it used to be that women, there was no marriage, there were just multiple partners, so nobody knew who the father was. And so the woman was highly esteemed because they knew who the mother was. You got proof for that? The answer is no. It was just a bunch of nonsense intended to tell us we got to go back to that system. And is it possible that is precisely why today we have seen a proliferation of articles on the polycule, polyamory, that you need to open up your marriage? That's the term. We decided to open up our marriage and start being frisky with other people. What is that? And why does it seem that right now, as we speak, that there are elite magazines and publications that are promoting polyamory? It's because it is right in alignment with Frederick Engels' desire to destroy the family, because that's what it does. When you introduce other people, stability goes flying right out the window, and they know it. And they might not be able to get an older generation of fuddy-duds who are locked into their biblical morality, but they are after our kids, and they are trying to get our kids to lose the verities, to lose the obvious good of one man and one woman. And I think that the two go hand in glove. What Engels began, we are really starting to see the culmination thereof. A public promotion of polyamory. Frederick Engels would have said, amen. Well, he probably wouldn't have said amen. Yee-haw! Because I'm sure that's the type of language that he used. Yee-haw! We're going back to the good old days where everybody just bred like dogs. And with it comes the destruction of the family. And they're even after those people who hold what we'll call traditional values to get them to open up. Because if they open up, if they as heterosexuals allow another person in, now whether it's cohabitating or they just go out and they fornicate with these people, if they open up, then these compromised individuals certainly cannot judge other sorts of unnatural behavior. In other words, they become more accepting of the LGBTQ plus movement. That's what we're seeing. It is, again, a breakdown of the family. And the world has been trying to do that now easily for 150 years or more. That Victorian concept of families sticking together, working together, generationally raising children together. It's what's keeping people down and rich people rich. It's Marxist. The polyamory business that we see, okay, the people that are promoting it, they might not be Marxists as we know it, but they're after the same end. We have got to break everything down, and it is packaged these days with a bow on it, from CRT. And it, instead, this is the updated Marxist view. This is the social Marxism. Instead of it being the rich people, the poor people, the proletariat, the bourgeoisie, instead it's the oppressor and the oppressed. And because in the West, although it's ridiculous, because in other societies where it's not just white people that have families, nevertheless, If this institution is in the West, it's because white people manufactured it to oppress people. And that's why it's got to be deconstructed. And that's why we're seeing an assault on the family. So what do we do with this Sapien Lab report that social media is just pumping in bilge into our kids' eyes and ears? What do we do? Mom and Dad, you got to sort that and figure that out. You do. You'll have to make a decision. And I don't think that there is necessarily a right or wrong decision. I understand you want to move to a place where cell towers don't allow you to have cell service. I say you go and do that. If you want to stay, but you want to limit, you want to put the tracking device, you got to figure out something. But in regard to the family, I think the local church could help. Because mom and dad, you're a lone voice, and you're that voice telling the kids why they should be at family events and why they should be a part of the family and not always running around and in their cell phones. We need the church's help. We need other parents to speak into other parents' kids' lives. We need the pulpit to be talking about this. We need there to be programs where we cultivate tilling the soil that it is. You want to excel if you're young? Here it is. Listen to old people. Just listen to them. You are going to your maturity, your wisdom, it'll be put on steroids. Be wise. Download it. Receive it. And that's countercultural. That is not the message that the kids are hearing 1,000 times a day. So maybe, just maybe, it's time for the church to enter the fray in the fight for families and supporting other parents and helping them to raise godly children. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start with some news about good old American spirit. Considering this is a Christian radio show and I'm about to talk about a patriotic story, that doesn't make us Christian nationalists. But we do have a story out of Indiana where a high school student showed up to school with an American flag flying on his truck. And apparently the administration of the school, well, they didn't appreciate the patriotic display because obviously Indiana's not in America anymore. I don't know. Anyway, they tried to shut it down and the entire student parking lot, for the most part, was turned into a sea of red, white, and blue overnight, sending a powerful message to the administration and the school board that we still live in America. And speaking of freedoms, yes, this is a freedom, even though it makes no sense. The University of Virginia has spent a whopping $20 million on diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's right, their DEI department spends $20 million per year teaching anti-American, anti-freedom, and Marxist nonsense. The school was founded by Thomas Jefferson, was it not? If you're a conservative and a Republican in Virginia, you gotta fight back against this stuff. There's not a single red cent of taxpayer money that should go to fund institutions that promote this type of agenda. And switching gears now to a story from Texas where a nurse decided to take matters into her own hands when it came to her son who was being bullied. Now, we don't advocate for bullying of any type, but a response like this, also not recommended. The lady, who is a nurse, as I said, concocted some sort of drink and gave it to the bully of her son and, well, ended up in the hospital. The nurse mom is now under arrest, as she should be, for injury to a child. I know it can be frustrating dealing with a bully, but this isn't a way to handle it. Moving on, a story from Portland proves just how upside down of a world we're living in. A bartender there has just been convicted of a hate crime. What did he do that was so hateful? Well, he misgendered someone. Apparently, a guy who identifies as a woman cut in line for the ladies' room, and the bartender told him to use the men's room because that's where he's supposed to be. That was a hate crime. Absolutely unreal. And finally, we end with some good news out of the UK, where a street preacher who was banned from criticizing other religions has just won a settlement. The police attempted to tell him what he could and couldn't say in his sermons. Thankfully, some common sense prevailed and the preacher continued to spread his message freely, as he should be able to do in a place that's, I think, free. Aren't they free in the UK? I don't know anymore. Anyway, that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How free should free speech be? This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you first to London. This woman is, I don't understand it either, a volunteer police officer. I don't know why they give her the garb. Apparently training is lacking because this unpaid volunteer Bobbyette. Can I call you Bobbyette? This Bobbyette is going to stop some Christians who are actually singing hymns outside. The sound is a little, you know, it's outdoors and it's being recorded on a phone. But it's well worth hearing because this is a representative, even though unpaid, and a volunteer of the British police.
Religion you're allowed to do anywhere.
No, miss. You're not allowed to sing church songs outside of church grounds.
You're not allowed to sing church songs outside of church grounds. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. This is the difference between freedom of religion and freedom to worship. They want you to think that you only have the ability to worship. In other words, you get together in your little club, keep the doors locked and the windows closed so we don't have to listen to you worshiping in there. We can tolerate that, but you can't exercise all of the other components of religion. In other words, you can't take it outside of the church doors. You can't leave your house with it. You certainly can't proselytize with it. And by the way, speaking of religion, I was reminded of a sermon. It was, Jimmy, the sermon I heard on Sunday. Woo! It was amazing. The old statement that Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. Well, the reality is it's both. Well, what makes a religion a religion? There are a number of hallmarks. One is there has to be some sort of deity, a supernatural being. Now, even if in Buddhism it's the great big nothingness, that's still the divine essence that you're desiring to get connected to once you lose all of your desires and you get reincarnated enough times. But furthermore, there needs to be some sort of moral system. Christianity has that. There needs to be a distinction between the sacred and the profane. We've got that. Even though the Christian life, all of it is sacred. That's not the same thing as saying there's a distinction between sacred and profane. There is good, there is bad, there is lofty, there is low. Christianity has all of that. Some sort of communication with your deity, some sort of afterlife and eternity. Those are all the marks of a religion, and Christianity has all of those marks. Now, what distinguishes Christianity from all of the other systems, and I don't care if they call it religious or otherwise, it is relationship, that this is the God who desires to know you and for you to know him and who, it borders on pleading, bids you to talk to him because he desires your affections, your heart, your will, your emotions, your obedience, the totality of you, that you would love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what God is after, and it is a staggering thought, and I don't think if you took the rest of today, the rest of the month, year, decade, century to ponder this singular thought, will you ever get a handle on it? In fact, I would guess that you can't think about this for more than 5 to 10 seconds, what I'm about to share, because I'm just suspecting in this regard, you're perhaps like me. It's like, whoa, slow down there, Pally. Let's not get too ooey-gooey with our Christian faith here. I'm not talking about ooey-gooey. I'm talking about this fact that God desires to be in a relationship with rebellious human beings, and he's made a way for that to happen through the person and work of his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ponder this. I'll tell you what. Here's the statement. You ponder. See how long you can do it before you start to feel uncomfortable or downright overwhelmed. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. So be careful before you knee-jerk your reaction to this statement. He said about God, he loves like a God. I'm going to add a pronoun to that statement. He loves you like a God. You, not the collective, not your church, you. He loves you and he bids you to talk to him, cast all of your cares upon him. In everything, with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God in everything. He wants that of you. The God who created everything, sustains all things, wants you to talk to him because he loves you like a God. Go ahead, drink that in. Can you handle it? Or do you start to go, no, that's too much. I can't bear that myself. Yep. And that's what we're going to be doing for eternity. Increasingly understanding the amazing loving kindness of our God who sent his son to die for sinners. Now, I got to tell you that you can go to your deathbed and you will not even come close to getting to the bottom of the love that God has for sinners. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the Father's love to those who fear him. That's what we did in church on Sunday. And then, hopefully, we took that message out to the world, which the world doesn't seem to want us to do very much, which is why they're trying to persuade you. You can have freedom of worship, but not freedom of religion. Back to London we go.
By the way,
you're not allowed to sing church songs outside
of church. You're not allowed. That's fine. That's
you're not allowed. She just said you're not allowed to sing church songs outside of church.
Our church is outside the church grounds, unless you have a...
Unless you're authorized by the church. Jimmy, you said she's this woman, this volunteer is from Bulgaria?
Yeah, originally from Bulgaria.
Maybe that's the way they do it there.
And you don't care about the Human Rights Act, you're lost.
And then the woman sticks her tongue out at the woman who was singing hymns. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, it's under assault, and we're seeing it everywhere. Let's go to Canada, shall we? This has simply been proposed. It is not enacted yet. Canadian bill would remove religious exemption from hate speech laws. Do you like hate speech? Neither do I. Nobody likes hate speech. It's, you know, hateful. But if we start to define what people can say and what they can't say, and deem that there is a motivation behind it that isn't amicable, which I'm not aware of any crime that is, but nevertheless, we're talking about speech here. As soon as we start trying to define that, uh-oh, we're in really big trouble. They're considering legislation that could criminalize the act of quoting scripture in defense of biblical marriage, sexuality, and other Christian views. It's Bill C-367. It's under review in the House of Commons. Would repeal religious exemption in the criminal code, which people are saying, that means that if we talk about the Bible, if we talk about, you know, anything that God says is a sin and somebody doesn't like it, it's deemed hate speech. That's sounding a bit like Pakistan. You say, don't compare Canada to Pakistan. Well, you be the judge. Headline from BBC.com. Pakistani blasphemy, a student sentenced to death for blasphemy on a WhatsApp message, which, of course, we all know what that is, don't we, Jimmy, with the WhatsApp?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the TikTok machine.
No, it's a message.
I was just testing you. It's like what?
A messaging app.
No idea. Utterly and cheerfully oblivious, sort of like the Academy Awards, which were on Sunday night. Zero idea. I have no idea about a single movie that was nominated for anything. I don't know a single actor or actress, which of course means that the sand in the top of my hourglass ain't what it used to be. Jimmy, you've been to a movie in 10 years?
Maybe one or two.
You'd remember from that mule kick to the guts that you got from that 10W-40 they put on top of the popcorn. On the WhatsApp, a 22-year-old student apparently used derogatory words about the Prophet Muhammad and his wives. Maybe, you know, he mentioned being married to a 9-year-old, the old Prophet Muhammad, for his troubles. He and a 17-year-old, the 22-year-old was sentenced to death. The 17-year-old, they just got life. And by the way, you should know, last August, scores of churches, homes, burnt to the ground in one town. Two Christian men were accused of damaging the Quran. That's not just Pakistan where speech is being limited. Increasingly in the West, it is being limited. They have to. I don't know who they are, but they have to. Because if we as Christians have the ability to speak freely, to proclaim Bible verses, to gasp, sing Christian hymns out in public, they just see us as the last line of resistance. That's it. Which should remind us that all of these free speech skirmishes and all of these legislative battles, better remember, this isn't about government institutions. This is a war against God. This is Wretched Radio. Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the realities of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land. And they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And it turns out I didn't miss much. This is Wretched Radio. Went to the YouTube machine looking for something totally different. I was looking for an updated version of The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, Your Lord. And of course, we don't have one of those because, well, it's too lyrically profound. The point is, I went to the YouTube machine and I discovered at the Academy Awards, Robert Downey Jr. won his first Academy. I clicked on it. It was for Oppenheimer. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
But it's rated R. I can't do it. Why did a movie about a nuclear bomb has to somehow be rated R. Okay, whatever. And apparently he won the Academy Award, and I clicked on it and watched him come out. I'm amazed that people still get dressed up. I'm amazed they're not wearing pajamas to the Academy Awards like we do to the airport. Not that I'm becoming a curmudgeon. I passed that line years ago. And it was a speech that was filled with all kinds of gratitude for everybody involved. And then I saw on the side, Ryan Gosling sang a song dressed in pink about that Ken from the Barbie movie was in. Barbie movie. Jimmy, would you look up, was the Barbie movie nominated for any Academy Awards? Even in some sort of obscure sort of category like best song or best lighting? That's the Academy Awards. I got to tell you, didn't miss it. For my money, and that means I'm groping for a segue here. For my money, I would have preferred to be in chapel on Wednesday at Campbellsville University. It's in Kentucky. I'm not familiar with it. It appears to be, at least it has Baptist roots. This is the place where that young wrestler, I believe he was 18 years old, was strangled to death by a 21-year-old wrestler. No details on that. They're talking about that the altercation happened because of some sort of skirmish in the cafeteria. Regardless, a young man died. He was a theology major and wrestler, strangled to death. And at the university chapel, Dad got up and encouraged the people there, the kids there, to forgive, because he'd forgiven the young man who murdered his son. Whoa. That's profound, isn't it? And you know, as amazing as that is, our Father did something even more than that. I mean, as magnanimous as that is to forgive the individual who murdered your beloved son, God does that. And in fact, it is because of the death of his beloved son that we are forgiven. But don't forget all of the other things that God gives us. God doesn't forgive and forget us. He adopts us. He brings us into his family. He lavishes every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms upon us. He is preparing for us a place where we will get to reign with him. We will have eternal bodies built for eternity without any more aches and pains, and we will get to dwell with God. We will be his people, and we will delight in him forever. That takes magnanimity off the chart. That is the greatest story ever told. And the reason that this man at Campbellsville University can forgive the individual who murdered his son is because that is precisely what God does. And that is precisely what God is after. It almost seems like it's a bit of a distraction from the flow of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about phony religion. He's talking about hypocrisy, being ostentatious. And he's blasting the Pharisees, not the scribes. He's blasting the Pharisees, the individuals who are doing showy religion that turned Judaism into this masquerade where they paraded around in public to receive the praises of men. And Jesus just lambasts it and shatters it over and over again. Your phony fasting, where you walk around going, with the law, oh, what's the matter, Bill? Well, I'm fasting, you know, because I'm spiritual. And Jesus said they've already had their reward. You get your praises from men. And then how's about in Matthew 23, Jesus woes the Pharisees who devour widows. Would devour them? Were they cannibals? No. The teachers of the law would oftentimes be employed by a man who left an estate. He left a will, and he would have the lawyers, which were the scribes, deal with his estate. And what would they do with it? They'd take the houses from the widows. They'd take the money from the widows. And then they would go out to the street corners and pray. Ooh, man, Scylla. And Jesus says, don't do that. And don't pray like they do, blasting the trumpets, showing off, letting everybody know they're religious. I don't know why at the moment I'm thinking about the Roman Catholics who walk around with that ash on their forehead, letting everybody know how religious they are. Jesus hates that, hates it. Go read Isaiah 1, I think, about verse 11. I hate it. I hate your phony celebrations. I hate your phony feasts. I hate your phony hypocrisy, because God wants our hearts. And then Jesus launches into the Lord's Prayer, which is not intended to be a formula as much as a pattern where we see different elements. We see praise, we see intercession, we see petition, we see confession, thanksgiving. These are the elements of what prayer should be. And he shattered everybody's understanding of repetitious babbling prayers, just repeating things over and over again. He talked to his Father, very relational word. And after he's done with the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then Jesus kind of goes on in a little excursus. If you don't forgive others, you're not going to be forgiven. Now, he's not saying your salvation is going to be taken away. What he's saying is your heart should be so filled with forgiveness that you desire to forgive others. You actually want to forgive others. How could I not forgive others? You think about the unjust steward. You've been forgiven so much and you're not willing to forgive a little bit? What's the matter with you? It indicates you're not a Christian, because our hearts should be so filled with the forgiveness of God. And please let us remember, it is not just forgiveness that God provides for us in the cross of Christ. It's all of the benefits. It's all of the fruit of his redemptive work. That we're seen as righteous, we're given the Holy Spirit, we're sealed to the day of redemption, we are given the mind of Christ. Who loves like this? And the answer is, our God does. And I'm telling you, this man, don't know anything about him at Campbellsville University. That's what allowed him to forgive the individual who murdered his own son. And as we look at what that man did, Let's take the right lesson from it. Not that, wow, he's amazing, but how's about the amazing work that God has done in a human's life that they would be able to forgive the murderer of their own beloved son? That's a staggering work. And we should see that and be encouraged. This is why sharing testimonies in church, I don't know about the church service proper, but when we hear about these things in the lives of other believers, it should cause us to cheer. Yes, God is at work. He's still doing stuff. He's alive and he is. What? He brought a man to the point where he's able to forgive the murderer of his child? What kind of a God is that? An amazing God is who that God is. I just wonder how many of us are not constantly turned to that good news about the magnanimity of our God, about how incredibly rich he is in mercy, about how vast his loving kindness is. I would ask you a question first, Pastor. Did you show your people Jesus on Sunday? And in your church, you have the right to discern these things. Were you shown Jesus? Was he lifted up for you? Did you leave your church loving God more than when you came into your church? Now, granted, it could be you've got a stony heart problem, but oftentimes it's the service itself. And especially in conservative circles, I see this downloading of didactics, this teaching that is very Bible study centered, which I love personally. It's got to be preaching that causes you to stand in amazement that God would be so stupendously loving that we would desire to be like him. That's where I would have preferred to be rather than the Academy Awards. Did the Barbie movie get nominated for anything, Jimmy?
And not only nominated, but won.
What?
They won Best Original Song, Barbie and Billie Eilish,
mm-hmm.
for the song, What Was I Made For?
Well, I can answer that question. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. You don't need to seek very far if you're a Christian to answer. Was that their only award?
I do believe.
Yeah. Yeah, that just reminds me. I would have rather been in that chapel service hearing that dad who forgave the murderer of his own son. Wow. A testimony. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.